Hey everyone, it's Storytime with Aussie Dad, and today we're going to continue reading some more of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Chapter 12, What It Said on the Golden Ticket. Charlie burst through the front door shouting, "Mother! Mother! Mother!" Mrs. Bucket was in the old grandparents' room serving them their evening soup. "Mother!" yelled Charlie, rushing in on them like a hurricane. "Look! I've got it! Look! Mother! Look! The last golden ticket! It's mine! I found some money in the street, and I bought two bars of chocolate, and the second one had the golden ticket, and there were crowds of people all around me wanting to see it, and the shopkeeper rescued me, and I ran all the way home, and here I am! It's the fifth golden ticket, Mother, and I've found it!" Mrs. Bucket simply stood and stared while the four old grandparents, who were sitting up in bed balancing bowls of soup on their laps, all dropped their spoons with a clatter and froze against their pillows. For about 10 seconds, there was absolute silence in the room. Nobody dared to speak or move. It was a magic moment. Then, very softly, Grandpa Joe said, "You're pulling out legs, Charlie, aren't you? You're having a little joke?" "I am not," cried Charlie, rushing up to the bed and holding out the large and beautiful golden ticket for him to see. Grandpa Joe leaned forward and took a close look, his nose almost touching the ticket. The others watched him, waiting for the verdict. Then, very slowly, with a slow and marvelous grin spreading all over his face, Grandpa Joe lifted his head and looked straight at Charlie. The colour was rushing to his cheeks, and his eyes were wide open, shining with joy, and in the centre of each eye, right in the very centre in the black pupil, a little spark of wild excitement was slowly dancing. Then the old man took a deep breath, and suddenly, with no warning whatsoever, an explosion seemed to take place inside him. He threw up his arms and yelled, "Yippee!" And at the same time, his long bony body rose up out of the bed, and his bowl of soup went flying into the face of Grandma Josephine, and in one fantastic leap, this old fellow of 96 and a half, who hadn't been out of bed these last 20 years, jumped onto the floor and started doing a dance of victory in his pajamas. "Yippee!" he shouted. "Three cheers for Charlie! Hip hip hooray!" At this point, the door opened, and Mr. Bucket walked into the room. He was cold and tired, and he looked it. All day long, he had been shoveling snow in the streets. "Cripes!" he cried. "What's going on in here?" It didn't take them long to tell him what had happened. "I don't believe it," he said. "It's not possible." "Show him the ticket, Charlie!" shouted Grandpa Joe, who was still dancing around the floor like a dervish in his striped pajamas. "Show your father the fifth and last golden ticket in the world!" "Let me see it, Charlie," Mr. Bucket said, collapsing into a chair and holding out his hand. Charlie came forward with the precious document. It was a very beautiful thing, this golden ticket, having been made, so it seemed, from a sheet of pure gold hammered out almost to the thinness of paper. On one side of it, printed by some clever method in jet black letters, there was the invitation itself from Mr. Wonka.
"Read it aloud," said Grandpa Joe, climbing back in the bed again at last. "Let's all hear exactly what it says."
Mr. Bucket held the lovely golden ticket up close to his eyes. His hands were trembling slightly, and he seemed to be overcome by the whole business. He took several deep breaths, then he cleared his throat and said, "All right, I'll read it. Here we go. Greetings to you, the lucky find of this golden ticket, from Mr. Willy Wonka. I shake you warmly by the hand. Tremendous things are in store for you. Many wonderful surprises await you. For now, I do invite you to come to my factory and be my guest for one whole day, you and all the others who are lucky enough to find my golden tickets. I, Willy Wonka, will conduct you around the factory myself, showing you everything that there is to see, and afterwards, when it is time to leave, you'll be escorted home by a procession of large trucks. These trucks, I can promise you, will be loaded with enough delicious eatables to last you and your entire household for many years. If at any time thereafter you should run out of supplies, you have only to come back to the factory and show this golden ticket, and I shall be happy to refill your cupboard with whatever you want. In this way, you'll be able to keep yourself supplied with tasty morsels for the rest of your life. But this is by no means the most exciting thing that will happen on the day of your visit. I am preparing other surprises that are even more marvellous and more fantastic for you and for all my beloved golden ticket holders, mystique and marvellous surprises that will entrance, delight, intrigue, astonish, and perplex you beyond measure. In your wildest dreams, you could not imagine that such things could happen to you. Just wait and see. And now, here are your instructions. The day I have chosen for the visit is the first day in the month of February. On this day and on no other, you must come to the factory gates at 10 o'clock sharp in the morning. Don't be late. And you are allowed to bring with you either one or two members of your own family to look after you and to ensure that you don't get into mischief. One more thing, be certain to have this ticket with you, otherwise you'll not be admitted. Signed, Willy Wonka.
The first day of February, cried Mrs. Bucket, but that's tomorrow. Today is the last day of January. I know it is.
Cripes, said Mr. Bucket, I think you're right.
You're just in time, shouted Grandpa Joe. There's not a moment to lose. You must start making preparations at once. Wash your face, comb your hair, scrub your hands, brush your teeth, blow your nose, cut your nails, polish your shoes, iron your shirt. For heaven's sake, get all that mud off your pants. You must get ready, my boy. You must get ready for the biggest day of your life.
Now, don't overexcite yourself, Grandpa, Mrs. Bucket said, and don't fluster poor Charlie. We must all try to keep very calm. Now, the first thing to decide is this. Who's going to go with Charlie to the factory?
I will, shouted Grandpa Joe, leaping out of bed once again. I'll take him. I'll look after him. You leave it to me.
Mrs. Bucket smiled at the old man, then she turned to her husband and said, How about you, dear? Don't you think you ought to go?
Well, Mr. Bucket said, pausing to think about it, no, I'm not so sure that I should.
But you must.
There's no must about it, my dear, Mr. Bucket said gently. Mind you, I'd love to go. It'd be tremendously exciting. But on the other hand, I believe that the person who really deserves to go most of all is Grandpa Joe himself. He seems to know more about it than we do. Provided, of course, that he feels well enough.
Yippee! Shouted Grandpa Joe, seizing Charlie by the hands and dancing round the room.
He certainly seems well enough, Mrs. Bucket said, laughing.
Yes, perhaps you're right after all. Perhaps Grandpa Joe should be the one to go with him. I certainly can't go myself and leave the other three old people alone in bed for a whole day.
Hallelujah! Yelled Grandpa Joe. Praise the Lord!
At that point, there came a loud knock on the front door. Mr. Bucket went to open it, and the next moment, swarms of newspaper men and photographers were pouring into the house. They had tracked down the finder of the fifth golden ticket, and now they all wanted to get the full story for the front pages of the morning papers. For several hours, there was complete pandemonium in the little house, and it must have been nearly midnight before Mr. Bucket was able to get rid of them so that Charlie could go to bed. Chapter 13. The Big Day Arrives. The sun was shining brightly on the morning of the big day, but the ground was still white with snow, and the air was very cold. Outside the gates of Wonka's factory, enormous crowds of people had gathered to watch the five lucky ticket holders going in. The excitement was tremendous. It was just before 10 o'clock. The crowds were pushing and shouting, and policemen with arms linked were trying to hold them back from the gates. Right beside the gates, in a small group that was carefully shielded from the crowds by the police, stood the five famous children together with the grown-ups who had come with them. The tall, bony figure of Grandpa Joe could be seen standing quietly among them, and beside him, holding tightly onto his hand, was little Charlie Bucket himself. All the children, except Charlie, had both their mothers and fathers with them, and it was a good thing that they had, otherwise the whole party might have got out of hand. They were so eager to get going that their parents were having to hold them back by force to prevent them from climbing over the gates.
"Be patient," cried the fathers.
Be still. It's not time yet. It's not 10 o'clock. Behind him, Charlie Bucket could hear the shouts of the people in the crowd as they pushed him forward to get a glimpse of the famous children. "There's Violet Beauregard," he heard someone shouting. "That's her, all right. I can remember her face from the newspapers." "And you know what?" somebody else shouted back. "She's still chewing that dreadful old piece of gum she's had for 3 months. You look at her jaws, they're still working on it." "Who's the big fat boy?" "That's Augustus Gloop." "Oh, so it is. Enormous, isn't he? Fantastic. Who's the kid with the picture of the Lone Ranger stenciled on his windcheater?" "That's Mike TV. He's a television fiend. He must be crazy. Look at all those toy pistols he's got hanging all over him." "The one I want to see is Veruca Salt," shouted another voice in the crowd. "She's the girl whose father bought up 500,000 chocolate bars and then made the workers in his peanut factory unwrap every one of them until they found the golden ticket. He gives her anything she wants. Absolutely anything. She only has to start screaming for it and she gets it. Dreadful, isn't it?"
"Shocking, I call it."
"Which do you think is her?"
"That one, over there on the left. The little girl in the silver mink coat."
"Which one's Charlie Bucket?"
"Charlie Bucket? He must be that skinny little shrimp standing beside the old fellow who looks like a skeleton. Very close to us, just there. See him? Why hasn't he got a coat on in this cold weather?"
"Don't ask me, maybe he can't afford to buy one."
"Goodness me, he must be freezing."
Charlie, standing only a few paces away from the speaker, gave Grandpa Joe's hand a squeeze, and the old man looked down at Charlie and smiled. Somewhere in the distance, a church clock began striking 10. Very slowly, with the loud creaking of rusty hinges, the great iron gates of the factory began to swing open. The crowd became suddenly excited. The children stopped jumping about. All eyes were fixed upon the gates.
"There he is!" somebody shouted. "That's him!"
And so it was. Chapter 14. Mr. Willy Wonka. Mr. Wonka was standing all alone just inside the open gates of the factory. And what an extraordinary little man he was. He had a black top hat on his head. He wore a tail coat made out of a beautiful plum-coloured velvet. His trousers were bottle green, his gloves were pearly grey, and in one hand he carried a fine gold-top walking cane. Covering his chin there was a small, neat, pointed black beard, a goatee, and his eyes were most marvellously bright. They seemed to be sparkling and twinkling at you all the time. The whole face, in fact, was alight with fun and laughter. And, oh, how clever he looked, how quick and sharp and full of life. He kept making quick, jerky little movements with his head, cocking it this way and that, and taking everything in with those bright, twinkling eyes. He's like a squirrel in the quickness of his movements, like a quick, clever old squirrel from the park. Suddenly, he did a funny little skipping dance in the snow, and he spread his arms wide, and he smiled at the 5 children who were clustered near the gates, and he called out,
"Welcome, my little friends! Welcome to the factory!"
His voice was high and fluty.
"Will you come forward one at a time, please," he called out, "and bring your parents. Then show me your golden ticket and give me your name. Who's first?"
The big fat boy stepped up.
"I'm Augustus Gloop," he said.
"Augustus!" cried Mr. Wonka, seizing his hand and pumping it up down with terrific force. "My dear boy, how good to see you. Delighted, charmed, overjoyed to have you with us. And these are your parents? How nice. Come in. That's right. Step through the gates."
Mr. Wonka was clearly just as excited as everybody else.
"My name," said the next child to go forward, "is Veruca Salt."
"My dear Veruca, how do you do? What a pleasure this is. You do have an interesting name, don't you? I always thought that the Veruca was a sort of wart that you got in the sole of your foot. But I must be wrong, mustn't I? How pretty you look in that lovely mink coat. I'm so glad you could come. Dear me, this is going to be such an exciting day. I do hope you enjoy it. I'm sure you will. I know you will. Your father? How are you, Mr. Salt and Mrs. Salt? Overjoyed to see you. Yes, the ticket is quite in order. Please go in."
The next 2 children, Violet Beauregard and Mike TV, came forward to have their tickets examined and then to have their arms practically pumped off their shoulders by the energetic Mr. Wonka. And last of all, a small nervous voice whispered,
"Charlie Bucket?
Charlie! Cried Mr. Wonka. Wow, 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 so there you are! You're the one who found your ticket only yesterday, aren't you? Yes, yes, I read all about it in these Miss Morning's papers. Just in time, my dear boy. I'm so glad, so happy for you. And this, your grandfather? Delighted to meet you, sir. Overjoyed, enraptured, enchanted. All right, excellent. Is everybody in there? 5 children? Yes, good. Now, will you please follow me? Our tour is about to begin, but do keep it together. Please don't wander off by yourselves. I shouldn't like to lose any of you at this stage of the proceedings. Oh, dear me, no. Charlie glanced back over his shoulder and saw the great iron entrance gates slowly closing behind him. The crowds on the outside were still pushing and shouting. Charlie took a last look at them. Then, as the gates closed with a clang, all sight of the outside world disappeared. Here we are, cried Mr. Wonka, trotting along in front of the group. Through this big red door, please. That's right, it's nice and warm inside. I have to keep it warm inside the factory because of the workers. My workers are used to an extremely hot climate. I can't stand the cold. They'd perish if they went outdoors in this weather. They'd freeze to death. But who are these workers? Asked Augustus Gloop. All in good time, my dear boy, said Mr. Wonka, smiling at Augustus. Be patient. You shall see everything as we go along. Are all of you inside? Good. Would you mind closing the door? Thank you. Charlie Bucket found himself standing in a long corridor that stretched away in front of him as far as he could see. The corridor was so wide that a car could easily have been driven along it. The walls were pale pink. The lighting was soft and pleasant.
How lovely and warm, whispered Charlie.
I know, and what a marvellous smell, answered Grandpa Joe, taking a long, deep sniff.
All the most wonderful smells in the world seemed to be mixed up in the air around them. The smell of roasting coffee and burnt sugar, and melting chocolate, mint, and violets, and crushed hazelnuts, and apple blossom, and caramel, and lemon peel. And far away in the distance, from the heart of the great factory, came a muffled roar of energy as though some monstrous gigantic machine were spinning its wheels at breakneck speed.
Now this, my dear children, said Mr. Wonka, raising his voice above the noise, this is the main corridor. Will you please hang your coats and hats on those pegs over there and then follow me? That's the way. Good. Everyone ready? Come on then. Here we go.
He trotted off rapidly down the corridor with the tails of his plum-coloured velvet coat flapping behind him, and the visitors all hurried after him. It was quite a large party of people when you come to think of it. There were 9 grown-ups and 5 children, 14 in all, so you can imagine that there was a good deal of pushing and shoving as they hustled and bustled down the passage, trying to keep up with the swift little figure in front of them.
Come on, cried Mr. Wonka. Get a move on, please. We'll never get round today if you dawdle like this.
Soon he turned right off the main corridor into another slightly narrower passage. Then he turned left, then left again, then right, then left, then right, then right, then left. The place was like a gigantic rabbit warren with passages leading this way and that in every direction.
Don't let go of my hand, Charlie, whispered Grandpa Joe.
Notice how all these passages are sloping downwards, called out Mr. Wonka. We are now going underground. All the most important rooms in my factory are deep down below the surface.
Why is that? Somebody asked.
There wouldn't be nearly enough space for them up on top, answered Mr. Wonka. These rooms we are going to see are enormous. They're larger than football fields. No building in the world would be big enough to house them. But down here, underneath the ground, I've got all the space I want. There's no limit, so long as I hollow it out.
Mr. Wonka turned right. He turned left. He turned right again. The passages were sloping steeper and steeper downhill now. Then suddenly, Mr. Wonka stopped. In front of him, there was a shiny metal door. The party crowded round. On the door, in large letters, it said, The Chocolate Room. And that's it for today. I hope you're enjoying the story, and make sure you keep an ear out for more of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. All right, bye for now.